Welcome to the My Favorite Girl Caregivers Corner podcast, where caregivers can come to be empowered, inspired, and strengthened to keep caring. I am your host, Priscilla Jean-Louis.
Hey, caregiver family, welcome back to the My Favorite Girl Caregivers Corner podcast. I am elated to have you here. I'd like to take this moment to thank you for listening. If you are a consistent listener, I'd like to welcome you back to another informative, inspiring, and empowering episode. If this is your first time listening, welcome and thank you for clicking that play button and listening. Listen, if you haven't done so already, take a moment now to subscribe to the podcast from whichever platform you are listening on. Then go ahead and share it with your family and friends, especially those you may know who are serving as caregivers. The mission of this podcast is to bring inspiration, education, resources, hope, and strength to caregivers so you can keep going, keep pushing, keep loving, and keep caring. And so on today, you all, I have a special guest with me, of course, on the podcast. And a part of what I like to do, part of my mission is to provide resources to those who listen. One of the things that happens, since there are quite a few people who know that I am a caregiver for my mom, put a plug in to My Favorite Girl. That's what I affectionately call my mom. But those that know that I'm a caregiver, they will reach out. Those in my area, they reach out to me quite frequently in regards to resources. And just, you know, there are some who are just going into their caregiver journey. Some who have friends, you know, I have a lot of church members, people that know me from church that will contact me because they're new to it or they have questions. And so one of the things that I try to do is provide resources for them so that they can have this information as well. And so what I wanted to do today is I wanted to bring in another resource. And I talk about Alzheimer's a lot. Of course, I say the fact that I am caring for my mom who has Alzheimer's. This podcast is for all caregivers, and we try to touch on every single ailment that there may be. Mine just happens to be Alzheimer's. And so what I wanted to do today is to bring in someone from the Alzheimer's Association so that they can give us some more information and let you all know what a great resource. Sometimes we have resources and we just don't know about them. And so that's what this episode of the podcast is all going to be about. The topic of it, if you saw it on the before you clicked in, the topic for it is the Alzheimer's Association leading the way to end Alzheimer's and other dementia. That is the mission of the Alzheimer's Association. And so on today, my guest is Crystal Cooley. Crystal is the local program manager with the Alzheimer's Association. She has a master's degree in social work and a certification in gerontology. Alzheimer's has a close place in her heart on a personal and professional level. She has also just recently started her journey as a caregiver with her father. And so we want to welcome today to the podcast, Crystal. Crystal, thank you so much for joining me on today.
Thanks, Priscilla, for having me. I truly appreciate it. And it's always an honor to do anything with you. So thanks again for having me.
Thank you so much. So I'm just going to touch on just a little bit, you know, because again, this is a Caregiver's Corner podcast. So before we get into really talking about the association, you stated in your bio that you recently started caring for your father. And so just on your own personal journey, you don't necessarily have to go in and telling us what's going on with them, but just as a caregiver, how are you coping? How are you managing as a new caregiver?
Well, definitely it's a whirlwind, especially for only being 28 years old. I didn't think I was going to be this young and taking care of my father. So it's very difficult emotionally, but I have just really leaned into my family, leaned into the resources we have available that's going to help my father, and just really coming together in the sense of it takes a village. Because not only do I have my family on my father's side, my sister, she is 21 years old. and is also helping me take care of my father when she's just really big on her life and her career. So, but my mother's also been very, very helpful as well regarding all this, even though they're not together anymore. She's been very supportive of my father and really has been in the trenches with us in all this.
All right. My first priority is making sure that you as a caregiver are doing well, right? And so you're absolutely correct. It takes a village to do this. And when you have a great village that you can lean on, that's always, you know, that makes a whole difference, because there are, as you stated, there's some different emotions that go on with this. We never imagine, I don't know if there's anybody that actually sits back and say, hey, you know what? My lifelong goal is to be a caregiver. there very well may be people who, you know, that is their thing. But I think with most of us, we just kind of, it happened, right? You know, I'm close to 50, few months. God says the same. I'll be 50 years old. And, you know, who would have thought in my early 40s that I would have been a caregiver? Surely didn't, but you know, I am grateful for those in my village as well that help. So that's my number one thing. I want to make sure that you are doing well as a caregiver. And so, you know, thank you for sharing that. And so we're going to go ahead and delve into what we're going to talk about today, which is the Alzheimer's Association. I have been connected with you all for a number of years now. And I always, matter of fact, the Alzheimer's Association, your information is on my website. And so just a plug for those that are listening, if you go to my website at www.PriscillaJJeanLouis.com, that's JEAN-LOUIS, there is a resource spot on my website and you will find the Alzheimer's Association there. And so you can go there and go directly to their website. But I've been working with you all for quite a while since I found you all, and I have found you to be a very good source of information and source of resources. And so I've utilized a lot of your resources myself. And typically when anybody calls me regarding Alzheimer's and dementia, and they want to know what type of help is out there. They want to know, because most people, believe it or not, I'm sure you probably know this, Crystal, in your role, but there are so many people who literally have no idea. They're very clueless as to what to do. Where do I go? Like, this disease is one that it hasn't been talked about a whole lot prior to the last, I would even dare to say maybe the last about 5 or 6 years, for my knowledge, right? It's not something that's talked about. Yes, we know quite a bit about cancer because cancer has been around forever, right? Alzheimer's has too. It was just so misunderstood in what it was by people. So it wasn't something that was really talked about as much. And so you get people who, you know, now they're faced with it. And that's exactly how I, you know, I had to deal with it. When I came face to face with it, and it was no longer someone else, but it was my mother, the one that I love, the one that nurtured me, the one that has taught me just about everything I know. It was my mother who had a diagnosis. And so absolutely, I had seen it, you know, all my life because of just, you know, but just like everybody else, the first thing you say is, oh, they're senile. You know, that senile word was just the word to be used and people not knowing. And so you get people who are very new to it. So when I get the phone call, and I get about a good 4 or 5 calls a month, and there are some times when I get 2 or 3 calls a week from somebody who, you know, they have a relative, they have a friend who has a relative, and they will call me and they will ask me for resources. And so the first place I go is, you know, I give them the information I have regarding caregiving. And then one of the first ones I give out is the Alzheimer's Association. And so let's look at One, the first thing I want to talk about with you, Crystal, because even when people call and when I hear people talking about it, what they want to know is what is the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia? And so let's talk about that a little bit. Is there a difference between Alzheimer's and dementia? Are they two different things? What are they?
So as we get that question a lot at the association, so think of dementia as an umbrella. So people can have dementia where it's early traits or signs of like losing their memory or not being able to complete familiar tasks and stuff that seems to be affecting your everyday life or things that are popping up more that is not normal to you. Well, underneath that, you have the different types of dementia, which Alzheimer's is the one that is prevalent whenever it is diagnosed. But there's also Lewy body dementia. There's vascular dementia, frontotemporal. There are over 100 different types of categories of dementia that has been discovered over the years due to different testing and new initiatives that are going to research more of this disease.
Oh, wow. Over 100. And so basically when we talk about Alzheimer's, to my understanding and what I've said, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think I know a little bit, but Alzheimer's is a form of dementia. That's what it is. And so when people call it, because you're looking at it as, oh, it's a form of dementia.
Right.
Dementia is the umbrella. It falls up under there. And exactly. So like with my mom, you know, she has Alzheimer's dementia. And so with that, you know, and we're not going to take the time today in this episode. Maybe I'll do that in a different episode. I know I've posted. So if you go on my social media, I do post, you know, quite frequently, and I've posted from time to time because I want people to understand, you know, I've posted the actual diagram that's out there that will show you how that falls. But, you know, I would encourage you, you can, again, go to the Alzheimer's Association website at www.alz.org. Go to Google, go to YouTube. And if you want to, you can just type in the search different types of dementia. And I'm sure that a diagram will come up for you. But we will get into talking about perhaps at a later point, the different types and how they affect. But I just want to be clear that people understand that there's a difference and that it falls up under there. And so dealing with our topic, the Alzheimer's Association, you're leading the way to end Alzheimer's and other dementia. Let's talk about that a little bit and some of what the association is doing in their leading to the end of that. So when we talk about the resources and the resource that you all offer, what are the different types? You're here in Tallahassee.
Right. I'm here in Tallahassee and I cover 21 counties in total here in North Florida.
Okay. So basically anybody in those counties can get information from you regarding the resources. So what are the different types of care and support that you provide? So if I contacted you and I needed assistance from you, I wanted to know what the resources are you provide. What are some of those things?
So some of those, depending on the variety of questions. So if they're looking for more information about research or possibly needing more services regarding everyday tasks, maybe they need someone to come in and help clean the house, or maybe they need other services to help the person living with dementia. We have our 1-800 number that anybody in the nation can call any time of the day, where there are trained professionals that will help them answer those questions. So they can connect them to local resources. Let's say we know sometimes people with dementia can have behaviors. Someone can call us if they have tried everything to redirect the person with dementia. We'll drop everything, help them de-escalate the situation and move it into a positive manner. and hopefully teach the caregiver as well some new techniques that they can possibly use now with their loved one. Or, you know, like you were saying, caregiving's hard and it takes a village. Well, you can call us at 2 a.m. crying and we'll be there for you. We'll sit in there and we'll listen without judgment, without hesitation. We are there to help. So, and we also, we have support groups. We have some as spread out in our area, but we also have virtual support groups that anybody from anywhere can attend. We have basically a chat called All's Chat that is on our website at, like you said, at alz.org, where people from all over the nation can message each other and someone can go in and like, I've just been diagnosed with early onset. What do? I need help. And it's people that have gone through that situation or currently going through those situations, the people living with it or their caregivers that are on this journey with them. Okay. And we also have a lot of free education from just the basic of who we are as the association and what we do to understanding different types of dementia, ways to live a healthy life to help your brain. So we have an abundance of things. So on that level, everybody has access, everybody, it's free. You don't have to pay anything, you don't have to subscribe. Now on a more local level, what I do with the association, I'm part of the program pillar. So I go out to all these communities to provide resources, so our number and other information, depending on the topics, to the community. But also I provide in-person educations to anyone in the community. It can be from a business, a church. And again, I can teach anything from understanding what it is to different stages of Alzheimer's, different topics for caregivers, but also I recruit volunteers to help forward our mission in all these areas that I serve.
Okay. So I want to give them the number. I do have that number, and it's a 24-hour hotline. That number is 800-272-3900. So if you're a caregiver out there and you may be a little stressed, or if you're early onset and you just need some other people to talk with, or you just want more information regarding Alzheimer's in the association, 800-272-3900. Now, Crystal, I did hear you say, and I'm just going to throw this out there just in case somebody says, oh, somebody can come help me clean up my house. So in that instance, is that something that the association, you all have volunteers that do that, or that's one of those referrals out to a different agency that has volunteers available to do that?
That is referrals out to other agencies. So when it comes to our volunteers, we don't have respite or people to come into the home, but we do have a variety of different resources we can refer them out to different agencies or possible government programs that can help with those needs.
Okay. And that's always great, you know, and that's not just the, I don't feel like cleaning up deal. That is, if you really need somebody to come out, I'm always trying to be a little humorous in this, right? Because you have to find humor in it. And so absolutely, if you need those services, contact the association. And I will tell you from personal experience as a caregiver, I'm on my 8th year. And so, you know, you will, and I always like to encourage people who may be listening that are new on this journey. There will be moments where you may have those 2-3 a.m. moments where you are overwhelmed, especially depending on what stage of the disease your loved one is in. And there are different stages. That's a topic for another episode as well. But depending on what stage your loved one is in, there may be those 2-3 o'clock in the morning moments where you do just need somebody to talk to. And so I highly recommend, if you don't have a support person, a personal support person that you can reach out to, you don't have a family member or friend, you just need somebody to talk to that you feel like will understand, please call. Don't suffer alone. You know, a lot of times that's what happens. People tend to suffer alone because the thought pattern is, I'm the only one here. And the reality is, you are not the only one in this situation. If I could go through and actually, if I would even post, right? I don't, I'm very selective on the things that I even post on my platforms. I post some things because my goal and my mission is to help educate other people, is to help make other people aware. So there are some things that I will share, but I'm never going to share anything that would take away from my mother's dignity. And so, you know, and if I shared some things, you know, people probably would be more sympathetic to me than I would really care for, because there are hard moments. You talk about aggression. Those things come, you know, that, I mean, I could go through, I'm talking about like right now, my mom's in a later stage of Alzheimer's. And so for the last, oh my gosh, I can't tell you how many months, but it's been enough that I would say it's been at least about 6 months, maybe a little bit longer. We're on this spitting thing, right? So, Chris, I don't know if you have people that have contacted you that says, my mother or my father or my loved one is spitting. And, you know, initially I'm like, okay, you know, it was just, but then it just became more frequent. And I'm talking, when I say spitting, meaning anywhere, like sitting in a chair, just will lean over and spit. We'll lean over and spit on the floor. We'll lean over out of bed and spit on the floor. And then I will tell you, there have been a number of times, at least about four that I can remember off the top of my head, because when somebody spits on you, you don't really forget that, right? But I mean, literally, she has literally taken her head back and brought it all the way out and spit on me. And so there are moments that you deal with on this journey that they're not, they don't feel good. Of course, I know it's not her. So, you know, I don't, of course, in the moment, it's like, ah, did she just spit on me? And I'm thankful that what I do recognize is that God has given me a grace to be able to do what I'm doing. But that may not be the case with other people, right? And so the one thing you have to remember is that it's the disease. That's what I tell myself on a regular basis. It's the disease. So, Crystal, have you experienced that? Has anybody said anything to you about spitting?
I've heard a few people having behaviors just from being in the association, but also just as a social worker and other prior experience that I've had. But, you know, I've heard spitting can be a thing, throwing things. Sometimes it can just be as simple as verbal. And so an example would be is that my grandmother has vascular dementia. And she is one of the most Southern women you would ever meet, raised in the church, you know, typical Southern grandma, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, all of a sudden vascular dementia. And that's when I tell my aunts, when she does stuff like that, where she does cuss or refuse or is belligerent and just not wanting to cooperate, that we all know that that's the disease, not their mother or my grandmother that we were raised with. So, but I tell people that, you know, like you said, you, and what I tell most people is that I know it can be hard, but you have to be patient. You have to meet them where they're at. You have to be understanding. But that is what we have educations for, other service, local services that could be out there to kind of help explain things. So, you know.
That patience is a key. It is key. Now, I will say, you know, after about a week or two of it, I had to go online because I'm like, what is this? Like, is this a stage of Alzheimer's that I just did not know about? And in my research, I found that indeed it is. And I was shocked. I was really shocked, but that lets you know it. What I'm realizing is that it's an ever-learning process. It is an ever-learning process. You really don't know what's coming next. And so it behooves you to learn all you can about the disease so that when things happen, you're not totally thrown off track. Because, you know, some of this stuff, absolutely not. I've done, my mom's the same way. I'm talking about Southern mother, church, you know, stayed in church. I have a love for God because of her, the whole nine. And prior to dementia, I never ever heard her curse outside of those moments when she would be repeating what somebody else said. And for whatever reason, she never just used a letter like most of us. She just said the word. So, but outside of that, never heard her curse. But I can tell you over these last couple weeks, sometimes she wakes up out of bed and going to the restroom, and you may hear a choice word or two. And so, I mean, it's like, hey, what are you going to do? Right. You know that that is not them. But those resources that you all have, I think that's great. And so I admonish anybody that's listening, if you're new at this, please go on the website. They're there. Contact Crystal. Crystal, you can actually email Crystal at kmcoolei@alz.org. That's Crystal Cooley, kmcoolei@alz.org. You can email her, ask her, put in the subject line, help, I need help, whatever, however it is, but contact her because, you know, sometimes you just need to know how to de-escalate, right? I know for me at one point, bath time was the bane of my existence. It was like something that I dreaded doing because she was always going to fight. There was always going to be resistance, and I did not quite know how to handle it. So, you know, on my own, I just kind of realized, okay, if I do it at a different, and see, my mom is one who, oh, she wants to talk. You know, that's the highlight of her day. When I sit down in that chair, and sometimes I'm coming through and she'll sit there and she'll tell me, come sit right here. Come sit right here by me. And so what I had to do is change that and say, okay, because sometimes it's not always when I want to get her a bath. Sometimes it's when she wants to get one. So that may take me readjusting my mind, number one, because, you know, with me, because I always have a list of something I have to do. And if getting you a bath is next on my list, I have to retrain my thoughts and say, okay, I'm going to have to do something else. Sit down, have a conversation, because if I talk to her and then after a while I said, girl, come on, let's get up and go get a bath. And everything is fine in her world, right? But you got to know how to de-escalate. You have to. And so those resources that you all provide, that is what that is all about. And so one of the other things that I want to touch on as well, Crystal, as we go into another part of conversation of the discussion, I'm trying to pull it back up here. So I was reading a little bit earlier, and I know the facts and figures, the 2024 Alzheimer's disease facts and figures just came out a few days ago. And when I looked at them, I'm always, you know, like, no, we have to do something about this. But when I looked at these numbers, again, alarming. That's all I could think is these numbers are alarming. And so I was reading an article a little bit earlier, and I live in Florida. We're here in Florida. And so according to this article, and it came from the facts and figures, it says a number of Floridians serving as caregivers for people with Alzheimer's and other dementias is an estimated 840,000. And that's an increase of 13,000 in just 1 year. That is alarming. Let's talk about these facts and figures, Crystal.
Well, you're right. About to say it's highly alarming, but we are the second large. We are the second largest state that has all people with Alzheimer's and caregivers. So first coming in with Arizona, We are the second largest in the U.S., the first being California and third being Arizona, with people living with dementia and caregivers.
That is a lot. Is it because we have more people migrating to Florida? Because, we are the Sunshine State and people want to come to Florida when they get ready to retire. They want to come to Florida. So is it that we have more people retiring in our area, which means that we have more people, which means that these numbers are higher because of that? Or what is it?
That's basically right. Besides the people who are living here already as like native Floridians, which I'm one of them. Mm-hmm. But we are a retirement state, hence why California and Arizona are in the top three as well, because a lot of people from the north will come and either stay for half the year or they end up retiring here because, well, we're warm.
Yeah. And I'm young and I don't like to be cold, so I can only imagine. I guess when I get older, I may move down to Key West where it may be a little bit warmer. But that number, you're talking about nearly 7 million Americans who are living with Alzheimer's. That's a whole lot. That is a whole lot. So what are some of the other facts and figures that are discussed on here as well?
Well, more than 580 Floridians age 65 and older are living with Alzheimer's here in Florida.
So 65, is that the average number, or is 65 considered to be early onset?
So that is the typical average number, and scientifically your chances from 65 and on increase for what people know as typical Alzheimer's, but there is something called early onset. And early onset can start as in their mid-40s for some people. So that's just based on right now what has been the typical research.
Yeah.
But still, it does not exclude either the 580. There is still more counted for the ones with early onset.
When you think about that 580, that's just, I mean, for Florida, that's crazy. That is a crazy number. And so hence the reason why I spend a lot of time, as much as I can, trying to help educate people on what this is, what it looks like, because if we continue in the vein that we're going in as a society, as a people, if that was the number, you're talking about a significant increase just in a year. What does that look like? 13,000 people in 1 year. Imagine if that doubled, tripled, quadrupled. That is a lot because if you haven't been in the space where you care for somebody who has Alzheimer's or dementia, I can tell you firsthand in a part of my social media platform, this podcast, me helping, a lot of that was literally all of it, I would dare to say, it was birthed out of a coping mechanism for me, if I would say it, right? Absolutely, it's helpful. And it is what I do feel like, God has called and commissioned me to do for this particular time, right? But it's also a way to cope, because sometimes you just kind of need a space to be able to get out of it all. There's nothing in the world like watching somebody you love basically fight. It's a constant fight for who they are. They have no idea what they're doing, how they're doing it. You know, with my mom being in a later stage, I'm talking about she's dependent upon me or whoever's caring for her at that time for everything. You know, she can't go to the bathroom on her own. She can go in there, you know, but if she goes alone, you just never know where she's going to go, right? Clothes, bathing her, I bathe her. I have to put her clothes on. And then a lot of times, for whatever reason, that's a fight. It's like you're struggling because you're trying to put the clothes on. She's trying to take the clothes off, you know, and all of it. There's a lot of times when I'm done, I'm like, whoo, you wore me out, you know. You have to clean them up when they use the restroom. And sometimes there's a fight because she doesn't understand that, no, you can't just use it and get up, you know. And so another comical side here, excuse me for those who may not appreciate it, but one of the worst things you can do is have on socks and socks alone, and you're going in and you're trying to help with that. I can't tell you how many times I've forgotten, like, all I have on is socks and I'm going to help, and then I'm sliding across the floor. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot that comes with it, and you have to find a comical side, because if you don't find an avenue and a channel to be able to take those emotions, they will overtake you. And that's something that I absolutely positively refuse to allow. And so we got to look at these numbers. We got to do what we can do. We're talking about, I'm looking at the facts and the figures here, and it's talking about 70% of dementia caregivers feel stressed when coordinating care. How many calls do you get from people that are saying, I just need help? You know, I need somebody to help me care.
That's most of our calls, honestly, are from caregivers going, what do I do? Or what do I do now? Because every person that has a diagnosis of dementia or Alzheimer's, you know, you see one person with it because everybody's affected differently. So some, you might have, you know, like your mom who has her behaviors and in a later stage, but there's someone else who might not have behaviors, but like to wander off.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really just trying to really help. We try to help people about, let them know about the resources in their area, our resources, and just letting them know they're not alone on this journey.
Yeah. And I promise, you know, that 70% that feels stressed coordinating care, I would dare to say that that's probably my number one aggravation as a caregiver, coordinating care. You know, I've just, when you're 8 years in and you have minimal care, what I've just conditioned my mind to is that I just don't plan to do much, right? I just don't plan to do many things because coordinating care sometimes is very frustrating. For me, I travel with work, and sometimes just even in coordinating for somebody to be here overnight is stressful. You know, I try as much as I can to plan my schedule way in advance, so that I can make sure things are lined up. And sometimes it's frustrating. It is stressful. You know, so what I started to do is I've started to just take the road that is least stressful. I know how certain family members are going to respond. And so I just try to do something different so that I'm not frustrated. But I can honestly tell you that number, yeah, I fall in there, and I can relate to those who just, you know, coordinate care. Sometimes, I mean, I have extra help. I have people, but, you know, you kind of have to work around. The thing about it is, especially when people have their own lives and their own jobs and their own things that they do, this is just something to do for them. It's not priority. And so, unfortunately, sometimes that's how it is. And that's what I found in my situation, that, you know, great people, but it's not always a priority for them because it's not their loved one. And so for me, you know, I just, my attitude sometimes comes down to, a lot of times comes down to, it's my mother, it's my responsibility. I'm not going to get bent out of shape if somebody can't come and do what they need to do. And so there are a lot of adjustments that have to be made as well. For instance, you know, Kaylin, my youngest, who, you know, hats off, I'm always going to give her all the kudos, because she really helped me to, you know, be able to care. She gave me that moment of woosah when I needed it. But Kaylin is, she's graduated now. She's, you know, on campus. She does come over and she still will come and help with her granny and all of that. But, you know, I'm like, it can be challenging. When she left, you know, I switched my work schedule. I switched from working 8 to 5 to now working 7 to 4. And I did that because I'm like, okay, I'm really a solo caregiver now. And so being a solo caregiver, you kind of have to think, okay, how do I do this? And so I get off an hour early per adventure. I have something that I need to do. I at least have an hour that I, if I need to run to the grocery store, if I need to go do whatever, I have that 1 hour of time to be able to do it. Because, you know, reality is, no, everybody's not that priority. So, you know, I'm grateful. You know, I'm always going to say it to you and any other Alzheimer's Association staff I work with or run into or what have you. I am very grateful for the organization. And trust me, if I did not appreciate the work that you all do and the resource that you are, I would be the last person to say it. And I definitely would not recommend you all to people if I didn't think that you were just a great organization. And so my appreciation to you all. And so I, you know, I'm going to say again to anybody that's listening, if you need these resources, they're here. Crystal is local. And she mentioned earlier, she's willing to come and to do workshops, to teach and to educate you on just about anything that you need. And so reach out to Crystal. She's right. If you're in the Tallahassee area, Tallahassee, Gaston County, you said you have 26 counties?
I have 21.
21 counties. So 21 counties in all these rural areas, especially. I received a call from someone in Gaston County a few months ago because they don't have the resources. And so any of these areas, if you have a health fair going on, what else, Crystal, where else will you go? I know you and I both, here's the other side of that, y'all. I volunteer with the Alzheimer's Association. And so I had the opportunity last weekend to participate in a health fair with Crystal, with the organization. And I always have fun everywhere I go. At least I try to, because life is way too short not to. And yes, Crystal will tell you, I'm going to talk to everybody that I can talk to. I call it plugging, but and there may be some plugging depending on what's going on. But, you know, I just like to have fun and to be able to do what I need to do, but make it fun. And so that was a health fair. What other events, if somebody's having something and they may be interested, what other type of events will you come to and speak?
Honestly, anything. So whether it is a giant workshop that's going on, whether it is just a local, small health fair, I've already gone to different festivals to help spread the word. I've gone to some different churches to do different educations. And everywhere I go, I just let people know that I will be there. I'm available for anything, because it's important to let the public know that we're here and we have those resources. Or like you, other people who want to volunteer, because, well, I met you when I was a volunteer prior to getting this job.
So yeah, so reach out. We talk about the volunteer side, and let's hit on that real quick. The volunteer side, if I wanted to, if I were interested, because with the volunteers, there are different, you know, hopefully sometime soon, and we'll share that at a later point. I have some other stuff that I want to be able to work with the association on, but there are different areas to volunteering. Can we touch on that? What if I wanted to volunteer, what opportunities are there for volunteering?
We have a plethora of volunteer. So we have, from what we do every year to our walk to end Alzheimer's, that is going to be November 16th this year here in Tallahassee. We always looking for people who love to sponsor, to be on the walk committee, to help set up. We have advocacy. So if you have a passion and you want to talk to your local constituents or go to DC and talk to people about the needs that aren't being seen, or bills that need to be passed to help people living with dementia, whether it's for research purposes, for coverage, for medical expenses, to support for caregivers, just, you know, it takes more than one voice. But when it comes to programs, I'm always looking for people who would love to go to tabling events with me, just kind of like you did, Priscilla, just hand out information and talk and let people know that we're here and spread awareness, people who might be interested of doing educations. So letting them go out with the PowerPoints and scripts we already have prepared and let them go into different communities to spread the word in places maybe I can't get to, or maybe they might know that I don't have any idea that needs that information. But also we have options if people are wanting to be support group leaders. We see a need for support groups and we don't have enough of them. So, and we're always appreciative of anybody that can help any time they can. There's not a specific timing day you have to do everything. But support groups are so needed in this area, especially since we're all spread out and rural, and virtual is amazing. But I've gotten a lot of people saying we would like support groups because we want to see people in person. We want to feel that we're not alone. Mm-hmm. So I'm always here, you know, happily appreciative of any kind of help. But if there's any other way you want to be a part of the association, I am more than glad to connect you to the appropriate people. You don't have to be just in one column. You can be all over the place like Priscilla.
I am all over the place. But, you know, I love what I do. And so I'm going to throw this plug in there for the association for Crystal. You know, students always need volunteer hours. And now you do have to be 18. So collegiate students, let me clarify, there's an opportunity there, especially when you're looking at college students who are going into the medical field, that, you know, you're in gerontology, you're in, you know, these different fields that require you or will require you to work with this population, you know. Nursing, that's a good avenue of you. I know there's little time with nursing sometimes that you have, but you know, it's a good way to get out there and you know, just be able to talk to the ones that are in this situation. And so if you're a college student, and hey, and then there are some people who just like to volunteer. They just like to, they like service. And I love those people. I don't have the capacity to do, you know, everything. But what my goal is to do what I can. Right. I had the best time on Saturday. And a lot of it was me sharing my story. I'm asking people, hey, how much do you know about dementia? I enjoyed Krista doing her quiz and me sitting there saying, and what else? Because I want people to know. You know, yeah, there are risks. There are some popular, you know, I'm African-American. I'm a woman. Guess what? That makes my risk higher. And the fact that I have several family members, you know, that's a high, people need to know that stuff. And so, yes, I'm asking the question, hey, how much do you know about it? I'm planning to do a poll real soon because I want to know what people know. I want to know how, what type of help do you need? Because sometimes, you know, we just don't know what you need. And when we know what you need, we can get you that. I'm looking forward to in the next little bit when I can get started being one of those support group leaders. Why? Because I think I have something to offer. I think that after 8 years, I think I have something to offer. And I think that it would benefit those who need it, because everybody doesn't deal, as Crystal said earlier, everybody doesn't deal the same. And so where I can take and I can decompress in a different area, everybody doesn't have that. I don't cry myself to sleep at night. You know, those that listen to my podcast, y'all know I'm going to always throw God in there because he is my source, right? And so that's not everybody's thing. That happens to be mine. That's what keeps me afloat. But that doesn't mean, you know, and that doesn't mean that I don't have days that I don't, you know, I don't cry much about this, but I can't tell you that I don't have emotional days. There are some days when I do, I'm almost 50 years old. And guess what? There are some days that I want my mama too. And that's the reality of it. There are some days and some things that you encounter in life that you do want to pick up the phone and you want to talk to your mother. And there's nothing in the world like having your mother here, but not really, if I can say it like that, right? Doesn't take away from who she is, but at the same time, that emotional support that mothers are, that, you know, there was nothing that meant more to me growing up than laying in. I felt like no matter what was going on in my life, if I could just get to my mom's house and lay in her bed, my world was right. It didn't matter what was going on. That alone fixed it. And because she's such a comedian, something she said would also, you know, be the life that I needed for whatever that situation was. I was literally like married, and I had to have my wisdom teeth taken out, like all four of them at one time. I just decided, I don't know what crazy thing was going on in my mind at the time that said do them all at the same time. But whatever it was, that's what I did. And I was literally married. And you know where I went after surgery? To my mama's house. I went to my mama's house because her bed was going to make me feel better. And so that might be extreme for some people, but that's just the connection that we had. And so, you know, for that to be so different now, absolutely, you know, you go through a range of emotions. And so you need that support. You need that, hey, you're not by yourself. That's what this podcast is about. That is definitely the mission of this podcast. And through this podcast and other efforts that I have going on and will have in the future, that is the whole goal, is to be able to point you in the direction of people like Crystal and the Alzheimer's Association that can provide you with the resources that you need. Because trust me, 8 years in, you will need those resources. You may not need them in the beginning, perhaps you may think, but I can tell you, as someone who has gone from the beginning stages to now the later stages, you will need these resources. And so reach out. Gonna put a plug in as well for the walk. I actually am on the walk committee for the Tallahassee Walk to End Alzheimer's. It is a great event. And Crystal, this is, if I'm not mistaken, the walk is the one fundraiser, or the largest fundraiser for the organization, right?
Yes, that is our largest fundraiser that helps support and raise funds to do more research, to provide more programs, to just overall help move our mission forward. The second largest one we have is called The Longest Day as well, which is to celebrate in recognition of people living with Alzheimer's and dementia on June 21st, which is the summer solstice, also the longest day of the year. And so really it's just fun where you can just get together and be with people and celebrate life and just doing what you love and just being in that moment with people. So that's another one that someone can sign up for as well.
Okay. And so all of these things are great opportunities, and the money, you know, that money goes back, as she said, it goes back into the research. The research is needed, y'all. It's needed. That's the only way we're going to find a cure. We talk about leading the way to end Alzheimer's and other dementia. This is how it's done. There has to be research. There's research for everything. There's cancer research. There is heart disease research. So Alzheimer's is a brain disease. There's research that has to be put into it, so that we can try and find a cure, try and find the medication that slows it down, try and find what's needed. Get involved. I'm a diehard. They will tell you I am a diehard advocate for Alzheimer's dementia. I go to the Capitol every year because I want them to see my face. My mother, my grandmother, my aunts, my uncles, all of them who have dealt with this and are dealing with it, living with it, they cannot speak for themselves. Your loved ones, if they are dealing with it, they cannot speak for themselves. And so we become their voices. And our voices matter not just for them, but it matters for us because we're getting older every day. As again, I'm almost 50. So we're getting older every day, and it matters not just for them, not just for us, but for future generations. And so if we don't change this thing now, if the dynamic doesn't shift soon, if we don't do the research and we don't have the programming, what does it look like? We talked about 13,000 more people in 2024 than 2023. If we don't change that dynamic by letting our voices be heard, advocating for this, what happens? And so this is why the association is important. Yes, they provide just about everything you need. You go on the website, www.alz.org, and you will find just about everything that you need right there. Education, it will, they have their steps to it, what it looks like, but there's nothing at all like having somebody that you can physically see and physically talk to. That's who Crystal is. Crystal is that person that you can physically see and talk to and get your questions answered. You can look on the website and you may have questions. Crystal is the one that you can call and get the answers to those questions. You know, and so that's what it is. Tallahassee Walter and Alzheimer's will be there. I have a team every year. My favorite girl in Alzheimer's, I've been more with the Youth Care 2 movement. That's Kaylin's team. But either way it goes, the money goes to the same cause. And we do. We do our best to raise money because we are passionate about this. We are very much like, no, we got to figure this thing out. We want to be able to see a world without Alzheimer's in our lifetime. And so, Crystal, thank you so very much for the work that you do. Thank you for your time on today. And again, you all, if you would like to contact Crystal, contact her directly at kmcoley@alz.org. Crystal Cooley, kmcoley@alz.org. Crystal, anything else for us before we go?
I just want to thank you for having me once again, Priscilla. It's always an honor. And like she said, I'm here for you. We're here for you. And we'll end this together. So thank you.
All right. And that's it. End alls. Hashtag ENDALZ. Thank you all so much again for listening, and catch us on the next episode. My Favorite Girl Caregivers Corner. Thank you.
Thank you again for listening to this episode of the My Favorite Girl Caregivers Corner podcast. I'd also like to invite you to visit my website at www.priscillajjeanlouis.com. There you'll find more information about me and my journey with My Favorite Girl. There's also the resource spot where you'll find many resources to help you as you are on your journey. Hey, stay connected. And remember, no matter what, keep going, keep pushing, keep loving, and by all means, keep caring.